Chapter 36, The Good That Does Not Perish. A word to young people. We would like to discuss the good that does not perish, so that this may expand and deepen your consciousness. For transitions in life are gradual, but people can become conscious of them suddenly. It is not simple to contemplate spiritual good when one is attached with one's whole personality to the things of the earth. This wouldn't be such a bad thing if people weren't making such a bad mistake. What mistake? The mistake we make in usually holding the opinion that it looks stupid for a cultured person to admit honestly that he can't think broadly enough. And when in this state, we begin to get interested in the things of the spirit, we nurture in ourselves that sham piety, that hypocrisy, that insincerity, that makes a person seek the kingdom of God with his mouth but the kingdom of the earth with the rest of his being. These few words contain the secret for understanding all the difficulties under which the present world lies buried. The mouth professes the kingdom of God. Yes, but I can't lose sight of the fact that I do live on this earth, and so I have to have a few certainties in life. I do have my obligations to the people around me. If that is the way you think, then where is the end? Is it the earthly good that will provide the absolute guarantee that your physical body will henceforth be protected against all unforeseen circumstances? You no doubt feel that this is not what is meant by the good that does not perish. But what is? Let us try to investigate this. The Bible tells us, "Go and preach the gospel to all the nations of the earth." But in order to bring a gospel, we first have to understand and live according to it ourselves. Or in other words, no one is capable of carrying out constructive work without first having started on it himself. As a participant in the spiritual school of the Golden Rosy Cross, you have the certainty that the creative hierarchies, with wisdom and deliberation, cause a person to be born in an environment, country, or race where he belongs by virtue of his spiritual quality. Every movement in which the leaders and the adherents do not meet this requirement is doomed to collapse like a house of cards, or has to be maintained either by physical violence or by black magic. If we are to achieve the building of an imperishable soul, i.e., the good that does not perish, we will have to meet the following three requirements. In the Old Testament, God gives us the idea we should live up to through the mouths of his prophets. In the Christ, he gives us the example to follow. In the Holy Spirit, he gives us, by means of his creative power, the possibility of following this example. What does all this mean? That first of all, we should open ourselves up to the divine idea to do the work in accordance with his plan of creation. That secondly, we should offer our love, totally and without self-interest, to the realization of this idea. And thirdly, that we must carry out and support the work with all the energy with which the awakened power of the Holy Spirit endows us. To make the building of the soul succeed, we have to know the secret of its structure. All the visible things God has built have a skeleton around which the body is constructed. In the same way, invisible things, and here we are referring to the building of the spirit soul, have to have a skeleton. For soul substance also can be formed around a skeleton only. What skeleton? Of course, the cross. The cross around which seven new force centers, seven chakras, develop in a new serpent fire body. Consider carefully. Without accepting the cross of the Christ, you will never build the soul, because it would lack the skeleton. To be able to build the soul, you must sacrifice your personality. Note well. Sacrifice it with love. But if you are to succeed, you will also have to leave behind in it all the soul power gained. You will have to sacrifice for this the pure forces, the forces of pure astral etheric light, for thus you will give your building work a new body, a new etheric body enabling it to live and bear fruit. That is building the soul. That is the good that does not perish. Do you, older reader, feel the importance of more expansive knowledge? Our younger generation learns early on what older people took a whole lifetime to gain. This will mean that children at the age of 18 will possess the ripeness of spirit of many an older person. This is why it is so necessary that there is an intimate contact between the great work and the youth and its leaders, so that the experience gained there can be passed on. If it is evident that there are ripened spirits among our children, they can be given important work at a fairly early age. This will stop or at least limit the danger of crystallization. This is precisely what is so tragic about mature people. They often receive the teachings too late to be able to grow into pioneers by putting them into practice. Keep in mind that without workers produced by our youth groups, it will probably not be possible to maintain the great work at the achieved level and to raise it up from there. Work such as ours needs to have a dynamic youth work behind it, otherwise it becomes top-heavy. And so, boys and girls amongst us, the value of our work will be demonstrated by your activity, perseverance, and exemplariness. Be enterprising. Accept the challenge of life. Whoever consciously accepts life in order to draw from its lessons, even though they be bitter, will find that all things will work for his good. You must offer your love, totally and without self-interest, to the realization of this idea. You must carry out and support the work with all the energy with which the power of the received Holy Spirit endows you. For young people have only one task, to speak in the language of a young poet. With the greatest courage of its greatest love to dare all, to gain all.